The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.
But first, BAM, the builders of the new National Children's Hospital, are currently claiming €853 million in extra construction costs. It's 100 million higher than that which was estimated last autumn. And to go along with this, patients may not be treated in the new hospital until 2026, so that patients will not be moved during the winter season. Now, we're going to speak to Dr. Chris Luke to explain all of this shortly. But first, I'm joined by David Cullinan, Sinn Féin's health spokesperson. David, good morning.
Good morning, Pat.
The board seems to be suggesting that they would not migrate patients from the existing children's hospitals to the new paediatric hospital during flu season. It seems that that is just a realisation they've had, given that the completion date, if it is to be June, they would be then fitting out the hospital, commissioning various things. But it looks like flu has only dawned on them.
Yes, and I think that was something that came up in the Oireachtas Health Committee when they were looking at the timeframes and dates and saying that it would be very difficult and challenging during the height of the flu season. And as we know, we had a lot of RSV illnesses, particularly for children, in the last couple of years, which has resulted in a lot of chaos in the children's hospital. So that part of it obviously would make sense. You want to be decanting staff and moving staff at the best possible time. The problem here, Pat, is that we don't have any assurance that that deadline in June would be met. So when you have a situation where the main board, if you like, which is responsible for overseeing the project, have very publicly called out the contractor saying that it's not being properly resourced, as in the project, that the boots are simply not on the ground to meet any of those deadlines, and saying that all of that is to extract more money from the Exchequer. Well, at the same time, we're hearing of thousands of claims which have still not been resolved, a cost potentially of €850 million. I think it is time for the new Minister for Health to now get involved. Obviously, she is only in the job a couple of weeks, but the previous Minister for Health, Stephen Donnelly, only met the main contractor a few months before the election. And as we know, a new completion date was given.
Okay, but the runaway train is exemplified by the claims that are made. You mentioned a total figure of 853 extra million being demanded. That's an uptake of 100 million extra in a relatively short time. And this is the problem. We don't know by the end of the day what that final total might be.
No, we don't. And I'm not saying, of course, that the current Minister for Health is responsible for all of those problems. Of course, she's not. She's only in the job a couple of weeks. But her party is, and the government that she was part of, in my view, has not handled this project well from the very start to as we approach the finish. And the difficulty that we have every time we discuss the National Children's Hospital is that we as public representatives can't give any confidence to the public of when the hospital will be completed, when the hospital will be treating children, which is ultimately the most important element of all of this, that we actually have a new hospital that can give first-class treatment to children. We don't have any confidence that any of the dates which we have been given have been met. And how can we when 14 completion dates have come and have gone? So all I'm saying is that not that the minister can undo all of the damage that was done by her government over the last 4 or 5 years, but she does need to start, as she means to go on, meet with the board, meet with the contractor, establish whether or not that date in June will be met. And if it won't be met, well, why? And get to the bottom as to who's exactly right, because this he said, she said between the board and the contractor is unseemly. It doesn't resolve anything. Ultimately, all of these claims could end up in the High Court, costing the taxpayer more money. But the most important issue at this point in time is, will that completion date in June be met?
All right, David, we leave it there. David Cullinan, health spokesperson for Sinn Féin. Thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you, Pat.
I'm joined now by Dr. Chris Luke, columnist, host of the Irish Medical Lives podcast, retired consultant in emergency medicine. Chris, good morning.
Good morning, Pat.
Now, two things. One is the extra costs, which I don't expect you to adjudicate upon. But the business of delaying the migration of patients because of flu season.
Yeah, I mean, that's a very strange one. I'm afraid it sounds as if it's the latest in a long line of excuses and explanations. I mean, winter generally means there's a surge in demand by patients, as we all know, to our costs. You know, it's when the emergency departments are traditionally busier and GP surgeries are traditionally busier because of coughs, colds, COVID, you know, you name it. But really, that's a very small issue in the grand scheme of things. And I have to say that I am I'm a bit skeptical about that, you know, to be absolutely honest. And I think that it just simply it's a bit of a fig leaf.
Yeah, I mean, to me, you've got children obviously who are suffering from respiratory ailments and who might not be comfortably moved. But on the other hand, in an overcrowded hospital, and all the children's hospitals become very busy with RSV at that time of year, wouldn't you be better off getting them into their fresh new rooms, isolated from others, and having privacy and comfort to recover from that condition, rather than let them languish in an overcrowded space?
Well, you see, I'd like to think that it would be like a very happy ending in a Dermot Bannon room to improve story. But the reality is that we still don't know from the reports whether the individual clinical spaces within the new hospital are going to be ready. I mean, for example, the staff have got to get used to the new facility. I mean, I'm a veteran of three, you know, huge new rebuilds of emergency departments in big teaching hospitals, and all of them were associated with delays of months and months and add-ons. And then you get into the new building and you find that certain spaces are completely inadequate and just don't work. You find that the technology that's been there, you know, lying idle for 6 months wrapped in plastic is actually out of warranty, and so on and so on. And you know, my understanding is that, you know, the staff haven't really begun the process of getting used to the flow, what's called the ergonomics of the way people work. And that's a very complicated issue because, you know, we saw it in Tala, for example. Not only is there the difficulty of getting used to a new space, but you've got to merge, you know, the ethos and the culture of three separate children's hospitals. And again, that's not easy. So all of that's going to take a lot of time.
The question of staffing up the hospitals, I mean, recruitment, I don't know how rapidly it is underway, but they will need more staff than they did before, even though you'd expect certain efficiencies by amalgamating a number of children's hospitals into one particular location. But there are people who simply won't be able to move because it'll be too inconvenient to get to the new location. There'll be people who have depended on driving for various reasons, be it family reasons or other reasons, maybe timing reasons, shift reasons, have been driving to their workplace and will not have a parking space in St. James. There are those who'll say, I've done enough, I'll retire, I'm eligible for a retirement, I'm out of here. And we have no idea as to where we are with that particular process.
You're exactly right there. I mean, we're only actually, I mean, Mr. Cullinan and yourself and myself, we're only really talking about the box, you know, and I was involved in this sort of idea that the box, that the new building, the new department, it's just a box. What matters most is the processes that go on within that box. And as I have suggested, the processes involve culture, they involve ethos and brand, as well as technology and training and expertise and recruitment and retention and all of that. I know you come from that part of the city vaguely, Pat. My mother worked in St. James's Gate for decades, and I know all about the congestion there, but, you know, going back 30, 40 years, and I completely agree with you. I'm one of those people who think that the traffic is already heinous, and that I think a lot of staff who I hear on your program are driving up from Carlow and Kilkenny and Westmeath and so on. You know, I think you're absolutely right. I think it's going to be very difficult to recruit people simply because of the commuting issues.
Mm. Now, you know, there are recriminations, and I'll just give an example of one comment that's come in. There's little point in recrimination, but this texter, Paddy, says, it's worth remembering and reminding the public that if the Children's Hospital had been built on a greenfield site, it would have been finished long ago and at a fraction of the costs it's costing now. It's up to the media to keep hammering this home. They were advised time and again not to build in the centre of the city, but the government still jumped in with 2 feet to an obvious money pit. That's from Paddy. And that's undoubtedly true. And, you know, they use this term all the time, learnings.
Oh, yeah. I like you, I deplore that word. And I couldn't agree more. I have written in the past about children, you know, hurtling up the motorway from Cork to Dublin, for example, for expert specialist treatment in Beaumont, and, you know, rattling around the back of ambulances when we could use a train, for example. And I think, you know, a lot of patients should be shipped by train, but then they get to Houston and you've got to get from Houston to St. James's. You know, every which way of the process you look at is a nightmare in terms of transport. And I did hear that someone offered a site, you know, near Blanchester or somewhere outside the M50. And like you, I think that would have been the ideal, because 2/3 of the population-ish do not live within Dublin. And so there's all these anxious parents rushing up to bring children to appointments or to deliver them to wards. As you keep saying, you know, that the commute is merely going to add to their misery for years and years to come.
Now, most people are expected to arrive there with ambulatory patients, I suppose, on the Lewis or on a bus, and the bus is going through there, even with bus connects. You know, it's going to be tedious. And if you've got a child who's immunocompromised, you're not going to take the bus, or you're not going to take the Lewis. There's no doubt about it.
Yes.
And I
yes.
can't see the eminent consultants arriving by Lewis either.
I can't say anything. I don't know what to say about that. I mean, to be fair, there are a lot of very, very fine consultants who will be arriving in St. James's and in the National Children's Hospital by bike. You know, that's all I can say. Mm.
All right. Now, some of the practical things you talk about, you have an anecdote from the Royal Liverpool Hospital, where a ground floor department was sent upstairs and there was a problem.
I worked at the Royal for a decade in the 1990s, and it was a ground floor department at the front of the hospital, as is traditional. And it was rebuilt in the early 90s, you know, at vast expense. It became a two-story building with 100 nurses and 25 or 30 spaces and so on and so on. And it worked quite well until the overcrowding began in the mid to late 90s, and ambulances were queuing up and there were people on trolleys. In the recent years, they rebuilt a complete new hospital, a new Royal Hospital, about a quarter of a mile behind the existing one. There was all sorts of problems there because of the PFI, Department of Finance Initiative, which was instituted by Tony Blair, and of course is bankrupting the NHS as we speak. But I went up to visit the new department, the new emergency department there, and it was up several floors up from the ground. And then what they'd gone from having curtained areas, as we're all familiar with, along a corridor, to having cement or concrete rooms. And this meant, of course, obviously, that people, you know, you couldn't have what has existed for decades, which is the idea of a nurse popping her head outside a curtain and saying, "Joan, could you give me a hand here quickly? I've got a patient who's fallen off the trolley." That can't happen because no one can hear you now if you're in one of these rooms. And it actually means you need far more staff. So there's all these sort of things that are only discovered as the new staff move in and begin to try and do their work.
Now, we have, of course, done amalgamations before and transferred, for example, to Tallaght Hospital, where three hospitals got together. What was the Adelaide Hospital, the Meath Hospital?
The Richmond, the Meath, and all the historic Trinity hospitals. And, of course, I mean, looking back, that was fairly fraught for many reasons, not least of which is that the three and more hospitals that were very proud institutions with their own brands of care and ethos, and you know they all wanted to be recognised within the new Tallaght setup. And I, you know, as from what I can gather from looking at and listening to that situation, that took years and it was very fraught in terms of merging the staff and the brands. And I know to this day there are still some issues that people find irritating.
Now, there's nothing we can actually do about this, is there, Chris? I mean, we are, to use another horrible phrase like learnings, we are where we are. But there is something that we should think about, and that is we're building a new maternity hospital in Donnybrook, Dublin 4, where few enough children are born.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. It's it's probably where the fertility rates are plummeting as we speak. Yeah, I mean, I would say to politicians, please, guys, you know, look at the situation that we have here. And I, you know, Fionnuala Sheehan, who you have on regularly, he predicted in 2024, he was talking about the mess back then. He said there are more lawyers than builders on the site, and that he predicted that it wouldn't open until 2027. That's how I see it, Pat. I cannot see the children's opening before 2027. And, the cost could easily be 3 billion and more, you know, given what's evolving in front of us. So I would say to the politicians, please, guys, do not repeat this exercise with the National Maternity Hospital.
And by the way, I'm not sure if you're familiar with the new children's hospital in Atlanta, which has opened in jig time relatively to our process. I mean, they took maybe 5 or 6 years to do the whole thing. We've taken decades. But what they did was they actually hired a warehouse and they built up a cardboard, you know, walls of the way the hospital was going to be laid out. And they could practice those movements you talk about, those,
ergonomic processes
in advance of actually moving into the building when it was complete.
Yeah. And I mean, I suspect that the clinical staff, the frontline staff, have not been adequately consulted, you know, going way back years and years. And, you know, there's a thing now, there's a movement in emergency medicine, certainly, but much of medicine now that involves simulation. As you say, you construct a pseudo intensive care room and you have all the kit and mannequins and so forth. And you rehearse ideas and see how things work in reality there. The other thing I saw when I was appointed as a consultant in Liverpool, you know, 32 odd years ago, I toured several of the European countries to see how they did things. One of the things that impressed me most was the hospital building in Belgium, in Leuven, where it was like a Lego building. And whenever they had a bit of money, they added on, you know, piece by piece. And it was a very beautiful building 35 years ago, you know, full of light and airy and plants and artwork and so on. And that's another way we could do things, to do it organically, you know, add on bit by bit. But anyway,
you have to have space to do that, Chris, and you don't have space in Dublin 8.
Yeah. 100%. And I'm talking about the previous hospitals and so forth. But the bottom line is, you know, if there are to be any of these dreadful learnings, it should be that we need a big, huge greenfield site somewhere other than D4, I would say, to start on the National Maternity Hospital.
Chris Luke, thank you very much for joining us. Well, with
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.